T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by the king himself, Peter King, here on 95.7 The Game. So, look. Text line says, I hope you're willing to eat your words if we beat the Rams even once. There you go. I mean, isn't that all you need to know? You thought you were going to be a contender this year. Now you're going to do some chest thumping if you beat the Rams once. My, how the standards slide around here. I'm not judging this team based on anything other than, like, they're supposed to be in the NFC title game this year, right? Isn't that how we all had the setting? Like, what a luxury and abundance of riches that the 49ers have drafted this quarterbacking plan that is going to set up the future while the present is still so rich and so bright with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what they sold to you. It's what an awful lot of us bought. And it looked right on paper. The 49ers don't look right on paper. They don't look right on a football field. They don't look right on my television. They don't look right in person. They don't look right in any way. It ain't right. I mean, do I know more about football than Kyle Shanahan? The answer is an astounding, overwhelming no. But I know as much about football in terms of that just looks right or that doesn't look right as anyone on the planet. And this doesn't look right for all sorts of reasons that seem to be that looks scared. The 49ers look scared. The 49ers look scared to make a play. They look scared to do anything that could turn the ball over. Yet in their ultra-conservative, a rookie should be able to run these simple-ass day one of training camp plays. They're not fooling anybody, and they're not protecting the football. Not protecting the football at all. As a matter of fact, here we go. So the entire goal of this offense, as far as I can see it, is to limit turnovers. That's apparently the goal. Josh Dubow has it right here. Giveaways per game under Kyle Shanahan. Right now, he's fourth in the NFL. Last year, they were second in giveaways. In 2019, when they went to the Super Bowl, they were tied for 12th. In 2018, second. In 2017, they were tied for 12th. Shanahan's never been anything other than in the middle of the pack or absolutely atrocious in terms of protecting the football.
And the question I have is, if you're talking about protecting the football, that's coaching in practice, but if guys can't hold on to the football, just as a matter of course, then maybe you're getting the wrong guys. I mean, I keep doubling back to the same thing, which is I think we accept that Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing as a play caller. The question is whether he has the right ingredients to make the cake. And it still falls on Kyle Shanahan because he is the general manager, John Lynch be damned. And maybe that's where the flaw is. Because if he can't call plays or be the general manager, what's the point? I think he can call plays. I just don't think he's got enough good players to make that work.
That's on him.
That's not at issue. I mean, when you get all the power, you get all the blame. That's simple math. That said, if you're talking about how does this get better, it would seem to me that you have to draft more astutely than you seem to be drafting now. And I'm not ready to, you know, declare Trey Sermon a disaster, or Trey Lance for that matter. But I tried to caution when all this started. I said, you know what? He hasn't done much yet. Let's cool the jets. And I think what's bearing out here is that even after 7 weeks of regular season play and a full training camp, he's not ready to go. Unless Kyle Shanahan can't judge football players at all, and he's actually a genius who is being kept under a tarp. And I don't believe that to be true either. I think what he may have done is drafted a project at a time when he needed somebody who was better than a project.
Kyle Shanahan is doing too much. When you are given a poo-poo platter of responsibility, but you're not good at any of it, it means you're being asked to do too much. Shanahan is a below-average head coach. While he might be an above-average play caller, it's not materializing on game day. As a general manager, it's a catastrophe when it comes to rookies or free agents. So it doesn't work with experienced players or just got here players. So something needs to be taken away from him. Not as punishment, not to embarrass anyone, but to simplify things. Because I'm looking at a guy who is looking at too much. I'm looking at a guy who's got a disconnect. Like, just look at Kyle Shanahan's body languages in his press conference. The amount of "I don't know what to do about this situation" seems to me like it's dripping off of him. Speaking of dripping, here's Kyle on the weather.
I think we struggled to throw and catch a lot more than they did. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, but they play indoors, and you don't. And you should have been playing with wet footballs all week long. Should have been dunking them in buckets of water all week long. Did we dunk a single football in a bucket of water before every single snap in practice all week? Did we do that once? I don't know. I wasn't there. But that team wasn't ready. Oh, excuse me. They were totally ready, had a winning game plan, executed it, were up by two possessions, and then stopped doing what got them up by two possessions.
We struggled to throw and catch a lot more than they did. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, well, because you got a quarterback who struggles to throw even under the best possible scenario, and you got one guy who can catch a football on your team, active and healthy last week. One guy. Marvin in Oakland, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
Hi, Damon. Thank you. Quick question. Well, it's past its prime, I'm sure, but had in the Super Bowl, Garoppolo's pass was caught and the touchdown, would the perception be different? I know they still love Mahomes, even though their record isn't as good, but do you think Jimmy, barring the injuries, would have a different perception with the
fans? Here's what would have happened, Marvin. Had Jimmy completed that pass to Emmanuel Sanders and won the Super Bowl, I think you're drafting someone other than quarterback this past year, which is going to make you a better football team than a guy who you draft and then don't play. You know, no one that you don't play can help you on a game. And Trey Lance cannot help this team if he's not playing. Ja'Marr Chase could have helped this team. Another defensive back could have helped this team. Another offensive lineman could have helped this team. A corner, a wide receiver. Anyone other than someone who does not play could have helped this team more than the guy who does not play. So it's time to ask the guy that you drafted to replace the guy who wasn't good enough to play. And Kyle is absolutely fooling himself when he says, we're 2 wins away from being 500. Go ahead, get to 500. Tell me how the Cardinals are doing. Tell me what the Rams are doing. And you got the Seahawks coming up again still. If the Seahawks win tonight against the New Orleans Saints, you're just backing up even more without even playing. I mean, it's time to acknowledge the reality of all this. And the reality of all this is they're the worst team in their division. but I think that the Seattle Seahawks and their secondary might be just as bad. Doesn't matter. They got Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson beats the 49ers. Set your watch by it. This is Drew in Oakland. Hello, Drew.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back, Ray. Hey, you know, the thing is, I would take you, Damon, and Ray over Kyle and Lynch right now, because you guys seem to know what's going on more than they do. You said you didn't know more, but you do. Here's the thing. You got a guy, a quarterback, that in three plays threw a touchdown and looked like the Super Bowl year, that can't wait to get out. He won't say it in public, but he can't wait to get out of there.
Look, both Ray and I would take you to 0-17. There's no doubt.
No, we would take him to 0-1 and be run out of the building.
Yeah. Look, I am not the kind of guy who wants to sound like I know more than a football coach. Jim Tom Sula knows more about football than Ray and I will ever know. And, oh, by the way, Jim Tom Sula was a high watermark that should have gotten a lot more respect than we gave him. Just had that bad press conference. Drew, thank you very much for the call and the compliment, but I got to tell you, you're wrong. Kyle knows more. But what I also know, what I am completely convinced of, is that everything that Kyle knows isn't enough to get them out of this situation. And Kyle maybe doth protest to know too much. Or insist, not protest.
He seemed almost not baffled last night. Like he couldn't figure out how it's gone so wrong. Yeah. And I don't think it was that he was unprepared or that he doesn't know what his personnel is. I think he thought this was going to be better than it's turned out to be. And I think in that way, he's like everybody else. So we are, in fact, in that one moment, just as smart as he is.
How do you fix it? It appears the only answer here in the Bay Area is nobody knows. Damon and Ratto, we got Peter King joining us next. We are brought to you by the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Download the Odyssey app. You'll discover hundreds of new sports and music stations, including ours. That way you can take us wherever you go. Anytime you want to listen, just click on 95.7 The Game on the Odyssey app. It's brought to you in part by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar. We're very happy to welcome Peter King into the mix. He normally joins us on a Tuesday, but Ray and I have a very short show ahead of Warriors basketball tomorrow. I know you're excited, Ray. Giddy like a schoolgirl. We have an awful, awful football team to talk about with the one and only Peter King. And really, that's where we are here, Peter. This is the 49ers have become an awful football team in a year where they were supposed to be a contender. Where do you think it started going wrong?
I have to tell you, you know, look, part of me says that making any long-term judgments based on, you know, playing a game in those conditions last night is probably not smart. But same conditions for both teams. And, you know, how many, and look, Indianapolis did it too, the Nyheim Hines drop in the open field of what probably would have been a touchdown. I mean, there's enough mistakes to go around, but I think the bigger issue now is I think you're basically 7 weeks and six games into this season. You have severe doubts about one quarterback, and it almost, I sensed listening to Kyle Shanahan last night, I sense that he really doesn't know what to do about the quarterback situation. He obviously feels that that Trey Lance isn't ready, and he doesn't want to put him into a situation before he feels like it's optimal for him to play. But that because I have no idea what Jed York deep down inside thinks, and I doubt sincerely that no matter what happens this year, if either Shanahan or Lynch is in any trouble, I doubt it just sincerely. But if you have your fourth losing season out of five, even if there is the promise of tomorrow with Trey Lance, it's just not good enough. And, you know, then you're going to have to wonder, what other moves can they make to turn this team around right now? And on the unexpected part of it, too, you know, how are you going to help your defense? So to me, I just think it's a worrisome time. And listening to Kyle Shanahan after the game last night, you really got the sense that he doesn't have the answers either.
Is there a way through 6 weeks of this to parse out where the problem is? Is it scheme? Is it preparation? Or is it talent? Or can you make that judgment?
I think really a lot of this comes down to the fact that, and again, I always hate to do this because, look, if you think about it, we spend far too much time talking about quarterbacks, far too much. And, you know, I wrote about the Bengals today in my column, and look, their defense is hugely responsible for where they are right now. But, you know, I'm looking at the bright, shiny object. I'm looking at Joe Burrow. So I think you're inexorably tied to the quarterback because that was almost the entire offseason for the 49ers, you know, focusing on the quarterback. What do you do with Garoppolo? And then after you decide to take a guy, how soon can you get Trey Lance ready? The worrisome thing for me is that Jimmy Garoppolo has to know that his future is on the line. And based on what we've seen in the first six games, he's not doing himself any favors to get a starting job in the NFL next year somewhere. And so I would start with that. I would say that it's pretty hard for me to believe that it's scheme that is making Jimmy Garoppolo not succeed. And again, I don't want to say, okay, six games, it's over. You know, the immediate reaction of so many people today, I don't care who plays quarterback this week, I just don't want it to be Garoppolo. You know, you've got to make a little bit of sense now. You have a must-win game it's in Chicago, right? You had a must-win game this week, absolutely must-win, and you can't go with the Nate Sudfeld experiment, and you can't play an 86% Trey Lance. You can't rush him back. Maybe he would be ready. I don't know. We don't know. But I think your best option is to do everything you can to try to figure out what Jimmy Garoppolo can do well at Soldier Field and survive and win this game this week.
Like you said, Peter, we spend way too much time just focusing on the big, bright, shiny object that is a quarterback. So let's look around, because Diamide Lenore was drafted, played the first couple weeks, played well, and hasn't been seen in a really long time. Ambry Thomas can't even dress. They got Aaron Banks, who finally dressed for a game last night, didn't play. They trade up for Brandon Ayuk. He is hardly involved. They trade up for Trey Sermon, and Trey Sermon got zero offensive snaps last night in a game where it begged to run the ball as much as possible. Now, Elijah Mitchell did a very good job, but the fact that you can't go to a running back that you traded up for means, as a general manager or as a coach, you have a huge blind spot either in picking the talent to begin with or developing the talent once it's with you. If you were Jed York and you had to strip Kyle Shanahan of his general manager duties, knowing what you know after several drafts, isn't it almost imperative to do that? He has got too much to do, and when you're doing... when you're not good at really any aspect of your job, maybe reducing the asks of your job is the best way to go about fixing the problem.
Well, I think the key question there is, what does it say in Kyle Shanahan's contract, and what exactly does Kyle Shanahan want to do? Okay, because at this point, I would agree with you. I mean, but I also know, having been in there in 2017, and obviously it's a long time ago, but having been in there, I know how much, for instance, Adam Peters, you know, personnel guy is valued. And I know how much John Lynch and Kyle, just from watching them in the last couple of years, how well they have worked together. So I understand that there has to be something done, particularly, you know, the Brandon Ayuk thing would really, really bother me if I were running the Niners, if I were either Jed York, you know, Parag Marate, and obviously I'm sure it bothers Kyle and John Lynch too. But that would bother me so much because clearly, and I forget who it was, it might have been Al Michaels, but one of the guys doing one of their games this year said that Shanahan told him in a production meeting, you know, we like Brandon, he's just got to be more of a grinder. And, you know, if you translate that, it means that Brandon Ayuk does not have a good work ethic. Now, that might not be exactly what is meant by that, but that would really bother me that either they got sold a bill of goods at Arizona State when they were recruiting him, or what. But that would really, really bother me. And look, I think if I were Jed York, the one thing I would do, you know, as soon as this season is over, because I doubt sincerely Kyle is spending much time looking at, you know, college tape at all. Most coaches who have personnel responsibility before the draft, they might watch a game on TV here or there if the personnel guy says, hey, you should watch this guy. I mean, Andy Reid watched some Patrick Mahomes in 2016. But mostly they just say, hey, I'll get to that the Monday after our season ends.
Wow.
So, but I would just say, listen, we have to examine everything we do in the scouting department, and that means everything.
You realize Dante Pettis is dressed for two games with the New York Giants and has more catches than Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah.
Dante Pettis was another guy who got into Shanahan's doghouse and had a bad work ethic, and still is bad enough where he's not dressing for a really bad New York team until they get all their wide receivers injured. But
right. Well,
when he gets the opportunity to get in there, he's productive.
He's like the sixth receiver. Well, he's probably productive because you got to throw the ball to somebody. And I'm not trying to kill Dante Pettis, but I'm just trying to say that he he's had a lot of chances, and the only time that he's ever been productive is when, I mean, the Giants' top three receivers didn't dress yesterday.
Sure. Well, so, I mean, here's the thing. The 49ers can't even pretend that they have a top three receivers. They got one guy in Deebo Samuel that they can throw the ball to, and they got Kittle, who's hurt. And even when he's not, Shanahan's using him like a blocking tight end this year.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that, look, if you, you know, and I know, speaking of bright, shiny objects, you know, you get a guy in there like Jalen Hurd, and you're really, really excited about him, and you always think, boy, if he just can get healthy just for a little while, what a player he's going to be. At some point, you got to cut bait with somebody like that. You got to bring in somebody who's going to have a chance to be healthy, because obviously he hasn't. But the larger point, in my opinion, is you got to strip down everything you do personnel-wise, and you have to say, why are we making mistakes on these guys? Or maybe we're not making mistakes. Are we doing something wrong once they get in the building? Everything has to be open for discussion, and everything has to be open for change. In my opinion, that's the way I would handle it if I were Jed York.
Let me ask one more question on this, and then maybe we can go to the 31 teams that seem to have a better idea of what they're doing. How does Jed York go about doing that, and where does he find the quality control person or people to tell Kyle Shanahan, that's not working the way you've explained it? Because that's always been sort of the failing of most owners who don't know football, is they don't know who to ask, and they don't know what questions to ask that person.
Ray, I'm going to say something that, I'm going to answer that question by saying this. I don't think, for instance, that the Cincinnati Bengals personnel people got brilliant overnight. Okay? Here's what I think happened. Joe Burrow is healthy. He's Dan Fouts reincarnated. And every time he steps on the field, you know that you've got a really good chance to win no matter who you're playing, because we got a great quarterback. And I can say the same thing. Why are the Rams a lot better this year? Matthew Stafford. Why are the Seahawks struggling as much as they are? They don't have Russell Wilson. What's going on with Arizona? Kyler Murray's completing 73% of his throws through 6 weeks. I mean, almost all successful teams have one thing in common. They have a quarterback who defensive coordinators are afraid to play. And so much of the 49ers' issues in the last 5 years, with the exception of 2019, obviously, so much of their issues can be traced to either not having a healthy starting quarterback and having to play the backup, or the starting quarterback is not what you thought, not everything you thought he was. Those are the biggest issues that I see right now with almost every team that's underachieving around the league. But still, obviously, if you're the 49ers, you just have to say right now, and you ask, who do you ask? Who does an owner ask? What should an owner do? Well, I've always thought that the smartest owners have somebody in their building. In this case, I think it's Parag Marate. Now, a lot of people may not really know what he does. He's certainly not Ernie Adams, the sort of, the football secret weapon that Bill Belichick had. But he's a guy who knows where to go to get the answers. I would start with him, and I'm sure that Jed has had a lot of conversations with Parag about all this. But I think I'm not sure that unless you've lost faith totally in your personnel people, that I would look for a magic potion outside the building. I would look for the guys who you have to say, hey, listen, you know, we are not reaching the end of the line here, but we have got to do better in the draft. and we got to do better with the guys when they get in the building. So let's figure out a way to do that.
Peter King on 95.7 The Game. I think it's 100% obvious that Kyle Shanahan has very little faith in the veteran quarterback that he has, and he's got very little faith right now in the rookie quarterback that he has. And when both quarterbacks fall into the same I have very little faith category, you go with a rookie.
I don't think I would disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Because when Trey Lance was drafted, after starting the equivalent of what? A season or a season and a half at Division I AA, whatever it's called, of college football. Okay? Now, you don't just say, if we're having a... Here's what you say. You say, we're going to play Trey Lance when he's ready. That's what we're going to do. This is about the next 10 to 15 years, not about trying to get us out of a huge hole this year. And perhaps doing more damage to a young player because he just wasn't ready. So I don't agree. I agree that you play Trey Lance when categorically he's ready to play, and you know that he's not going to get that he's not going to get tremendously set back by playing. If you were right now to look at the New York Jets. You know, and now Zach Wilson's going to miss the next 2 or 3 weeks with a strained PCL suffered yesterday in New England. I mean, there have been 5 times when I've been watching the Jets this year where I say, oh, my God, get this guy out of there for his own good. But you know why they couldn't do that? Because their backup is a guy from Western Kentucky who never played a snap in the NFL. And today they had to pay a fifth-round draft pick to the Eagles to go save themselves at the quarterback position, and go get Joe Flacco. So all I'm saying is that...
Peter, is Joe Flacco elite? I'm just kidding. That was a question from 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago.
All I'm saying is you play Trey Lance not because the house is on fire today and you just don't want to play Jimmy Garoppolo. You play Trey Lance when he's ready.
Okay, well, maybe your best example of that is the must-win situation that you say is in front of the 49ers in Chicago. Because I'll tell you, through 5 games, been sacked 22 times, averaging less than 117 passing yards per game with a 57% completion percentage. Worst body language I saw on the sideline than Jay Cutler ever had. Justin Fields can't play.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say. In terms of, I just think at the beginning of this season, I think Matt Nagy had a great idea, which is I'm not playing the kid until I think he's ready. And it reminds me of the old Mike Tyson statement, which is everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And Matt Nagy had a great plan until he consistently got punched in the mouth. And the problem in Chicago, and the problem is maybe about 40% in San Francisco of what it is in Chicago, that, and now Matt Nagy's got COVID and he can't even coach his team. It's just, it's an abject disaster with the house isn't on fire. The city block is on fire. And so I'm just telling you, if Matt Nagy said, hey, Peter, what do you think? Which no coach has ever asked me in my life, nor should he. But if he said, well, what do you think? I'd say play Andy Dalton until the wheels absolutely fall off. And of Andy Dalton, not of the team. Because obviously Justin Fields is not ready.
Let me switch gears before we have to go away. Do the Raiders look better to you now with the change in regime? And does that tell you that maybe, aside from all the email stuff, that maybe John Gruden's messages were getting stale? Or is it too early to make an assessment?
I think all three are true to some degree because, look, the Raiders have beaten a 3-4 team in Denver and a 2-5 team in Philadelphia. Now, the Raiders are responsible for one of each of those losses. But they haven't played great teams in the two games since he's been gone. They are, however, to me, playing significantly better and looking like they're having a ball. And it's exactly what Derek Carr said after the game last night. All we're trying to do is go out and have fun. That's our number one job. Football is fun. Let's go out and have fun. So it's eight quarters, and they look a little bit different and a little bit more relaxed. But let's see what happens when they play a really, really tough game against a tough team. We'll see. The one other thing I would say, though, about the Raiders that I find interesting, I would buy that John Gruden's message was starting to get old. And there are coaches who I know who have friends on that staff who were not viewing, even though they like Gruden, they were not viewing Gruden leaving as being the end of the season. Because I think there are some guys on that team who probably tuned him out. But there, you know, having said that, there's probably some guys on every team who tune every coach out. But the one other thing I think about the Raiders is that I think any time you get a breath of fresh air as an athlete, as a player, I think it can be very, very good for that team. And, you know, I also think that I think Gruden sort of catapulted himself to having this aura around him, this sort of super coach aura that I'm just really not sure was deserved. I mean, he's a guy who hasn't won a playoff game since 2003. And look, I have nothing against Gruden, but in his career, he's six games over 500, I think, in 15 years as a coach. That's very slightly above mediocre, if not just mediocre. So I think it's easy to say what an absolutely cruel death blow to the Raiders to lose their head coach suddenly, shockingly, this early in the season. But it may not have been the worst thing that could have happened to that team.
By the way, just looking here, Kyle Shanahan in 5 years as a head coach is eight games under 500.
Yes, 31-39.
That is not a place anyone wants to be living. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. Good stuff this week, and we look forward to it again next week after what you've already labeled is a must win against the Chicago Bears.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. There you go. You going to join him in the must win? I will. I mean, it's to salvage Kyle having a voice in that locker room, I think they need to beat the Bears.
I don't know if it's a question of the voice in the locker room, but yeah, they need to beat the Bears, if only because then two teams after them are Arizona and the Rams. If you're 2-7, you have a 1 in 195 shot of making the playoffs, which means you have no shot.
It's no shot.
And, you know, if you're 2-7, then you'll start seeing some dispirited players.
We had a bunch of calls get stuck behind an interview. If you did that and hung up, welcome on back. Get in line right now, 888-957-9570. Ray and I are coming back with more of your calls about a disastrous weekend for the 49ers. And, oh, we got a World Series starting tomorrow night and 107 and 106 wins. Wasn't good enough to represent the National League. It'll be 88 wins, Ray, representing the National League.
Yes, but they couldn't have done it without the aid and abettance of Pablo Sandoval.
That's right. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that the Golden State Warriors have begun their season 3-0. And if the season ended today, Steph Curry is your MVP. Probably getting a little ahead of ourselves, but at Sports Talk Radio, it's kind of what we do. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Should be a robust football hour tonight with Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal from 6 to 7. Brought to you by Street Strider, the first 2-in-1 indoor-outdoor elliptical. Visit streetstrider.com. couple of former NFL players talking about an NFL game that just went disastrously bad after it started oh so well for the 49ers. That is coming up, and Ray and I will get right back into it as we get into our 5 o'clock hour. But, you know, Ray, there is this little thing called baseball in a World Series out there, and Charlie Morton versus Framber Valdez. It is the game one everyone thought it was going to be. Oh, excuse me. No, it's not. It's not the 107-win Giants nor the 106-win Dodgers that will represent the National League. The 88-win Atlanta Braves, who never stopped trying to get better when their best player, Ronald Acuna, went down with a season-ending injury. They are in, and it's against the Astros and Dusty Baker, of course.
Yeah, the Braves are an amazing story if you love to track general managers, because Alex Anthopoulos had an outfield on day one. He had an outfield at the All-Star break, and he had an outfield on August 1st. And the three are mutually exclusive of each other. I mean, losing Ronald Acuna should have been a disaster. And when you go to that second group, and you're talking about people like Abraham Almonte and Ender Inciarte, you're going, they have no chance. They're six games behind the Mets, for God's sake. And then they go out at the trade deadline on July 1st. They get Eddie Rosario, who only got them into the World Series. And then at the trade deadline, they got them Adam Duvall. They got them Jock Peterson. They got them Jorge Soler, who between the four of them, since they came to Atlanta, they've had a total of 50 homers.
Yeah, like the four best players in the National League combined together almost.
Yeah, they basically walked out and they said, hi, we're Shohei Ohtani, except we don't pitch.
So it's really a hell of a story. It's not the World Series that anyone was expecting to get. Maybe you had the Astros in there. Nobody had the Braves in there. And it just goes to show you, funny things happen in baseball while you're making grand design plans from your regular season win total.
I mean, it's postseason baseball now is about who can think quickest on their feet with the pitching change that won't screw you 3 days down the road.
Well, if there is one lesson I think to be learned across the board is that you only go to a starter in a postseason relief appearance if your bullpen just didn't make it to the game. I mean, like, it is the reason why the Dodgers are home is because they got an awful lot of their gas burnt by the Giants to get past them, which included questionable pitching decisions, which then led to more questionable pitching decisions for them in the NLCS, which once they went with that, yeah, we're going to have our game three or four starter work two innings of relief tonight, it blew up.
The decisions they made in the Giants series were not only defensible, they were excellent. It's when you go back to the well again and again, because you cannot bring guys back on 2 and 3 days rest twice in a row. That's where this got undone. And it happened with Julio Urias, and it happened with Max Scherzer. You could do that once, and you can especially do it in a deciding game. All right, that's just part of the deal.
Right, that's trying to get through it.
Yeah, but don't come back 2 days later with a 37-year-old guy and say, we're going to need you to go six, you know, because you're going to find out he can't go four. And Max Scherzer is a great pitcher. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. But you cannot ask him to do things he hasn't done more than once. He'll gamer his way through game five of the division series, and he did. And so did Urias. But then you go back and you start treating everybody in your rotation and your pitching staff like they're the same guy. That's where analytics failed the Dodgers. Because that wasn't just a Dave Roberts decision. That came through the entire front office. And they all decided all pitchers are equal. And all pitchers are not equal. I mean, that's clearly true. So you use the starters in an emergency when you know it's an emergency. Other than that, you brought 9 other pitchers with you to this party. Use them.
You talk about not all things being equal. Well, even though the Golden State Warriors are off to a 3-0 start, Steve Kerr says not all wins are created equal, and the one against the Kings, the best of the year so far.
I think this was our best game of the three so far. When we take care of the ball like that, we're really hard to beat. And we've got to keep pounding that message home. But this was the best two-way game we've played. We were rock solid with the ball. We had multiple guys come in off the bench, play well. So the main focus now is just continuing to get better night in and night out. And, you know, the one problem with having an 8-game homestand is, you know, that's going to flip the other way down the road. And so we just have to look at the total 82 and not get ahead of ourselves.
That 8-game road or homestand won't begin until this road trip is over, which continues tomorrow in Oklahoma City. I know that we've said, you know, I've debated on what Draymond needs to be offensively, just a couple more points better here and there. And you've always said, Ray, you know, like he doesn't need to do anything else offensively. Well, when he does, it just makes the Warriors harder to guard. And Steve Kerr couldn't help but notice that a very good night out of Draymond Green, where he went for 14 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists, is exactly what the doctor ordered.
I've loved his energy, his attacking the rim. You know, he's had some hoops in all three games, just going to the rim off the pocket pass from Steph when people are blitzing him. And he's just been super aggressive, which is the best version of him. And then, of course, defensively, I mean, he's a one-man wrecking crew out there. Some of the plays he makes at that end are mind-boggling. He's just one of the great defenders of all time.
He's a guy, though. I mean, he had 14 last night, and he was aggressive going to the basket. But if you get something out of Bielitsa other than 0-for-5, you're not going to miss Green scoring. It's the aggressiveness with which he goes to the basket that is the difference. And if he doesn't get points there, at least he is making somebody guard him. And that's what I mean by his offense being, I mean, that's where his offense is important.
Be accountable.
Yeah. If he doesn't score, fine. But he's got to be a presence. And he was very much a presence last night on a night in which Bielitsa, who's been good through the first two, couldn't make a bucket.
Let me amend that. Don't be accountable. Be accounted for.
Fair
That's
enough.
That's where Draymond really needs to be, because he is accountable with what he does on the court.
Yeah.
But offensively, when you just have to keep an eye on him instead of no eyes need to go to him offensively, it opens up what the Warriors do. Certainly no one opens up what the Warriors do more than Steph Curry. 27 points on an off-shooting night. He had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. He was 4-for-15 from downtown. Ray, getting closer and closer to my 23s per game. He became the first Warrior ever to amass 500 career assists. This guy has started the year with 2 double-doubles and a triple-double so far. He has just been named the NBA's first Player of the Week in the Western Conference. It's obviously going to be a very, very long season still. But if the season ended today, my God, what Curry has done through 3 games is remarkable, and he's not even shooting it right yet. He's at 31 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2.3 steals per game. He is the Warriors' leader in rebounds. He is getting to the line at the best clip of his career. He's shooting the most threes per game of his career at 12, grabbing the most rebounds per game of his career. You remove the 5-game season of the 19-20 season, the 5 games he played that year, and Curry has all of that with what are right now the worst field goal and 3-point shooting percentages of his career. He's not even close to being hot from the floor, and he is dominating games.
Yeah, that's the point. It's not just the shots he takes. It's the fact that, again, he's got to be accounted for. And on nights when he isn't shooting well, 10 assists tells you what you need to know. And 7 rebounds, because some of those rebounds, I think, are his that he just chases down because he knows as soon as it leaves his hand if it's going to be on or off. So he's more fun to watch this year than he was last year. I believe that, because he is more engaged and more guys are engaged with him.
Well, Curry is the Warriors, and the Warriors are Curry. So once you have more, once the ball gets hopping, that means the Warriors are more fun to watch. Period and end of story.
Well, exactly, because they are indeed at their best an ensemble. I mean, Curry might be the, you know, the name at the top of the marquee, but he's better when he's making other guys better too. And the problem at the end of last year was that there was nobody there
to make
for
better.
Him to make better.
Yeah.
It was him, it was Draymond Green, and it was
Wiggins.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wiggins last night, by the way, I know that our friend Anthony Slater put out a anti, like Wiggins has been just a little disinterested, and he showed him missing a layup bunny at the end of the would have ended the first half. Look, Wiggins is not the end-all be-all of great NBA players, but what he was a team best plus 18 last night. Like Wiggins is pretty good. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. He's a pretty good player. And when he's your third option, to have a pretty good player is your third or fourth option, because Poole has maybe even supplanted him offensively as an option. It's a good problem to have.
Everything you need to know about Andrew Wiggins, he will tell you on the defensive end. Because if he's engaged there, he's going to be engaged at the other end. If you're going to worry about his energy level or his compete, and I hate using that as a verb, but I just did it. The place to see that is defensively. I didn't see that defensively in the time I watched, because I was flipping back and forth between that and the mudslide in Santa Clara.
Which we'll get right back to.
Oh, good. Can't wait. The truth is, Wiggins looks as committed as he was last year. It's just he's got to be a different player. And I think so far he's engaged with that. I mean, yeah, he blew a layup at the end of the half, and I think, yeah, for that he ought to be cut. But other than that, he's been fine.
Welcome, good people, one and all, sports fans, to your 5 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.